Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Final Fan Podcast. I am your host, Jack, with co-host, Sydney.
Hi.
Hey, Sydney.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jack?
I'm doing pretty swell.
Swell.
Folks, you are listening to the Final Fan Podcast, where one person does not like horror movies, and one does like them. Let's see if you can find out who it is.
I was like, guess who is who?
Yeah, they can't tell yet. We have to get to the movie first.
Uh-huh.
And that movie is The Orphanage from 2007. Woo-hoo. Yes. There it is. That's the movie.
Aww. And
it was 1 hour and 45 minutes, so not too bad. Not too bad. Still not really hitting Jack's rule there, but silence!
Oh, you bring it up every time.
I know. Because it just drives me insane. Movies don't have to be 2 hours.
They do, though.
They could be like 5 minutes.
That
feels like if you can't get your content, get your like your plot and your characters and everything you developed within 5 minutes and get it in my face and sum it up, you're wasting your time.
Well, maybe for your birthday we'll do a little five. There are 5 minute like horror shorts out there. We could do that for your birthday, Jack.
But just one of them, right?
Yeah, just one. I wouldn't want to waste your time. Perfect. Wouldn't want to make you hang out.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm just afraid to be around Sid. That's why I don't want to watch a long movie.
Jack's like, ew, she scares me.
A little bit. Okay, so this movie, The Orphanage, or should I say El Orfanato?
You should definitely say that, like all the time.
I think I messed it up there, so I'll go back to The Orphanage. This movie was directed by J.A. Oh, boy. Hang with me, audience here. These are a lot of Spanish names. So, J.A. Bayona.
Sounds right.
Keep moving on. Writer, Sergio G. Sanchez. I can do that one.
Okay.
Stars Belen Rueda, Fernando Cayo, and Roger Princep, which doesn't sound Spanish to me.
Well done.
Yeah, we'll announce more of the stars as we get going. That's kind of how we do this. And one person we'll probably shout out with this movie is executive producer Guillermo del Toro.
Woo woo woo!
I think we were talking before we started recording. We kind of think maybe he's the reason this movie kind of made it to the U.S., made it to this side, because he has the influence to kind of do that, or he did at the time.
I think he still probably does.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Whatever he puts out.
Yeah, not didn't go down. I just meant like at the time when he was, you know, cranking out the hits, you know.
Get him out there.
This movie was released in the U.S. January 11th, 2008.
Ooh, kicking off the new year.
Uh-huh.
Let's make it a sad one.
Right? 2008. Fuck 2008. That's what he said.
Oh.
So it is in Spanish, and obviously I had to watch this in subtitles. I'm not a Spanish speaker, so thank God for the subtitles.
I don't mind a movie in subtitles. I feel like it makes you slow down and pay a little more attention.
Yes. Yes, especially when you're writing. And you're like, wait, stop talking. A lot of pausing on my end here.
I was so relieved when I remembered you were hosting this one.
Yeah, I bet you were, Sid. This movie, the budget was 3.4 million euros, and it opened in the U.S. and Canada with 233,323.
Mm.
Oof. But gross U.S. and Canada was $7,161,284, and it did much better worldwide because it made $78,638,987.
Dang.
So, international movie.
Give me more ghost stories, Guillermo. I need them.
Have we done a movie by him yet? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
My favorite by him is Crimson Peak.
Okay, well, put it on the list if it isn't already.
Because it's very gothic and pretty and sad, because of course it is.
Of course it is. Taglines, Sid.
Yeah.
The tagline for this movie was, un cuento de amor, una historia de terror. A love tale, a horror story. Yeah. So that was the one that they went with, but they had a couple other ones, and I want you to let me know what you thought was your favorite.
My favorite. You do this to me every time, and you'd think I'd remember that and like have them.
Should I be buying time right now? Okay, yeah. So my favorite.
I've got it. Well, I'm not going to attempt the Czech one.
I was going to ask you to do that one.
Try to say it in Czech.
I don't even know what that is.
I actually do like the Czech one the best. The Czech one is in their native tongue, and then in little brackets in English, it says, "Dead children want to play."
Yes. So I think that was probably my favorite, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Swedish one, "And the children continue to play."
That's a good one, too.
A little creepy. A little creepy. The UK one was "No secret stays locked away forever." A little wordy, Brits. A little wordy.
Well, they're British.
And then there's one, another one that they had. "You will deny what you will see, but you will not be able to deny the fear."
The fear.
That's too much. Too long-winded. Sorry.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the orphanage. Let's go have a brief synopsis here. A woman brings her family back to her childhood home, which used to be an orphanage for handicapped children. Before long, her son starts to communicate with an invisible new friend. It's spooky. Can you imagine that? Oh, it's a horror movie.
Imagine that. Yes.
Now, I think we can move right along to the point where we discuss what the fuck happened to Bo.
No! Not Bo. Well, I gotta go. So this has been great.
Are you just gonna keep rhyming with Bo?
Fine. Well, Jack, I'm trying not to bring the mood down, but since you insist. All right, so the last movie that we did was Beetlejuice. And as you remember, Bo was super into it, which we appreciate. We love that. We love when our producers are super excited. And Bo was not looking where he was going one night when he was driving home. And he swerved to avoid hitting a dog. Which was so sweet, you know, because Bo like really cares about animals.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like went over a bridge. So sad he died. But he ended up back in his home and he's like, "Oh my gosh, hooray, I survived the crash," which love that. And then he opened up his door and landed on planet Saturn and got eaten by a sandworm. So Bo died twice. So rest twice in peace, Bo.
Does that cancel it out and he's back now, or?
I don't feel like that's how that works.
Oh.
I think he's just gone.
When you die on Saturn, no one can hear you scream?
Yes.
Mm.
Unless he came back and became leader of the sandworms, which, you know, could happen.
I can see that seems like a Bo move.
More like Bo. I agree. Well, until that happens, we now are welcoming Oscar. So, hi, Oscar.
Buenos dias, everybody.
Oh, buenos dias, Oscar.
Hello.
Really like this movie. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really well done. How about you?
Me too. This is one of my favorite ghost story movies, so.
It was okay, Oscar. It was okay.
Jack.
What? Hour 45. Thank you. Yes. It's like Oscar listens or something.
Shut up, Jack.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well.
But you got to get that weight in there to really pull on the heartstrings later.
That's right. Needed to make me cry.
My heart's already in my feet right now, so I'm not really, it's not going any lower.
That sounds painful.
Well, then they'll just start tugging on your toes.
Not my toes.
Don't tug on my toe strings.
That's right. Leave those toe strings alone. That's going to lead to problems.
Yeah, my heart's down there. That's where the blood is.
I keep my blood in my feet. What the fuck?
Okay, Sid. Wow.
Let's get it.
Let's go. Okay, so this movie opens on a slow pan. From the sky down to the orphanage orphanage in the background. And we see a little girl who's knocking on a tree. She's like, uno, dos, tres. I can't remember what else she says because I don't speak Spanish. But she's basically knock on a wall is what the
thing is. It's like their version of red light, green light.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's knocking on the tree, turning around. And her friends are behind her. And they stop every time she turns around, like you said. So they keep doing this until her friends are right behind her and they tag her and they all start running around and having a good time.
Yeah.
Looks wonderful.
Cute.
We learn it's called Good Shepherd Orphanage. And then there's a There's a phone call and a lady answers the phone, presumably one of the caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
And she opens Laura's file. Laura was the one knocking on the tree. And she is played by, oh boy, Maria Renau as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she sounds like she is getting adopted.
Yay!
Yay!
A home for Laura.
Yay! And then we cut to the credits. So, a little short introduction to the orphanage. And, you know, obviously she was raised there and she got adopted at some point.
These were some creepy credits.
Yeah, so the credits were like... It would like show like a little crack in a wall and then hands would come by and just like whoosh, and just rip wallpaper off and reveal the names.
Yeah, like little kid hands while like spooky orchestral music is playing.
Yeah. I always enjoy an opening credit sequence where like there's some like animation or something to catch your attention.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't want just like a brown, whatever that one that we watched where it was just brown and red. It was a faculty. I'm going to keep shitting on that.
It was like The Faculty, but it was the other 90s movie.
All the other ones?
Shut up.
Disturbing Behavior.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. See, Oscar listens to our show. So unlike funny. Jack.
And you.
And me.
God, someone's got to listen to it.
Shut up.
Oh, man. Well... We get through the credit scene. I thought it was okay. It was kind of, you know, it was interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a very long one. There's not a ton of people in this movie.
Mm-mm.
So the next scene, we see someone is yelling, mommy, 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 mommy. And that person wakes up Laura, who is now grown and played by Balan Rueda.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in bed with her husband, Carlos, who's played by Fernando Cayo. And it's this kind of funny exchange. Maybe you kind of like... get a glimpse into their relationship where Carlos is like, okay, I'll get it this time. And he goes straight back to sleep.
Bro, every time he's like, it's my turn. And she's like, uh-huh.
And she rolls her eyes and gets up because she knows that he's not going to do shit.
Get up, Carlos.
So Laura gets up to comfort the child that is screaming. We learn it's Simone, which is their son. See? She enters his room. And Simone is played by Roger Princip. And Simone says, they are outside. And Laura kind of comforts him. They mention a name. It's like Watson and Pepe or something like that.
Yeah, his little imaginary friends are Watson and Pepe. And I'm like, I need to know what Watson and Pepe look like. Like, I have questions, Simone.
Right, right. She like goes to the like window or door mm-hmm. and like opens it to like let them in or something. I'm not really sure what.
Yeah, I think she was like, oh, he's freaking out because... his imaginary friends got left outside, so I'll open the mm-hmm. window so they can come inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's talking, trying to comfort him, you know, obviously to go back to sleep. So we've learned from Laura that the family ended up moving into the orphanage where she grew up,
mm-hmm.
which is a very nice place, by the way. Very ornate.
Right? It's a nice orphanage. Like, it looks like a really old mansion.
And it's not like dusty. I mean, it's dusty in some places, but like, it's not... most of the shots, mm-hmm. it looks really nice, like it was just refinished or something. I don't know if they did that or if it just was kept in good condition. But
yeah.
So she, to get Simone to kind of calm down and go back to bed, she tricks him by saying that the lighthouse protects them,
mm-hmm.
even though in reality it hasn't been in use for quite a while.
Yeah.
This is weird. She uses the back of the alarm clock and like produces a glare on the window to make it look like the lighthouse is lighting up. And Simone's like, oh, whoa.
Well, I mean, he's seven. He's pretty easy to lie to right now.
Wow.
I mean, if he was 17 and still like, wow, look at that.
Whoa, mom.
Whoa.
Can't wait till Watson and Pepe see this, huh?
Watson and Pepe are going to love this. Whoa.
Mom, can I go to Watson's and spend the night? We're going to cruise.
Not cruise.
So next morning, there are workers bringing in furniture. Laura approaches Carlos as he is like, all the workers are kind of like bringing in new furniture, because what we learn later is that they're going to open the orphanage back up and like let kids come back in and take care of them.
Which is a really, I appreciate that it sets up the dynamic of how much I keep wanting to say Laura because that's how they say her name in the movies. But Laura and Carlos like kids and like want to take care of them because they're not opening it up like huge, but they're going to take in like 5 to 6 special needs kids along with Simone, which I was that's nice.
Yeah. So they're kind of getting everything ready for this opening day. And as the workers are doing this, Laura approaches Carlos and he's sitting at the piano and playing. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of comes over and they tickle the ivories together. It's pretty romantic.
It was cute. Yeah.
Simone just comes up and is like, "What's up?" And like, you know, like in true kid fashion, he's very like chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Dad to go to the beach with him. And Laura's like, "Oh, I'll take you and he'll join us later." So Simone goes upstairs, and during this time, Laura kind of says that they should talk to him about his invisible friends, Watson and Pepe.
Well, he also, like, when he's downstairs with his parents, he takes pills, and they're like, "Don't forget to take your pills," and I say that because it will come back later. So that's our first indication that something's up with Simone.
Something up. So now it's Laura and Simone walking to the beach. She's telling Simone about the pirates. Very, very bad, bad pirates that used to be there and they buried treasure in the beach. Mm-hmm. They go to like this cave that's near the lighthouse. And like, I don't know what she's doing, but all of a sudden Simone's just in there by himself. Like, what the fuck? Were you watching him?
And I was kind of surprised. I guess maybe it's because she grew up there and she knows the cave doesn't really go anywhere, but it's still like a cave that your 7-year-old like plunking around in by himself. Like she doesn't have a flashlight and she's like, "Hey, asshole, like go ham." She doesn't call him an asshole, but
she just lets him kind of go explore by. Oh, I don't even know if she does. She like looks at the ground, is like picking up stuff, and then Simone is just off by himself going further and further into this cave, which is like, I would not do that as a kid. I'm sorry.
I would.
Jack too scared. What?
If I had a flashlight, hell yeah, I'm going to like peek around in there.
Okay, well, I want like an old timey lantern that has like the, you know, obvious chance of blowing out. And then you're like stuck in the cave, like, "Oh shit.
Oh, it's hell like
really freaky." Oh no, okay.
No, I need like modern day technology. Give me the flashlights.
The LED light.
No, like I'll explore, but come on now.
Well, Simone does for a little bit, and he's like he like approaches this like back area. Like the cave keeps going. He's like wide eyed and like, "Oh," you know, like kind of looking at this certain area. And Laura finally is freaking out and like, "Where, you know, Simone, where are you?" And she goes further into the cave and finds him. He's whispering to someone. Mm-hmm. And he says that there's another boy. And he says, he specifically says it's not Watson or Pepe. It's a new friend that he's making.
A new friend. I love creepy kids making little ghost friends. But also, maybe this is why you don't have kids. Because then your kids just come home with ghosts. And you're like, "Damn it, another one? Come on."
That's how they tether to you, is through your kids.
Through your kids and the creepy kid drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, love them.
So Simone asks if the boy can come back to the house and play. And Laura's like, she doesn't even say anything. She's like, "No."
You know. No.
So she tells Simone to get out. So he runs out of there. And then Laura goes further into the cave to kind of see what he was. Because it was kind of around the corner. She couldn't see in the cave when he was talking to him. Whatever was in there. She goes back there and sees that there's footprints. That are going into the cave further in. So Carlos joins them. They're all walking back home. Simone is leaving like a shell trail. Mm-hmm. Like he keeps dropping shells to like lead the new friend back to the house.
"Come back to my place."
That's weird.
Not like that. Weird.
Next scene. It's gray and raining. Oh boy. Woo-hoo. It was the 2000s.
Hooray! The only time it rained.
Seriously, The Ring, Panic Room, like all these movies are just like, it's dumping and dreary.
Ooh, they're like you know what's sad? Rain.
I think I'm going to get that tattoo. Dumping and dreary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be an amazing tattoo. You're going to put it like on your cheek, like one dreary on one cheek and then like dumping on the other cheek.
I wish I could put it on my knuckles, you know, like those really...
Look at my knuckle tattoos, babe.
Milk duds, you know, like it has to be four letter words.
Love it.
Yeah, so he leaves the shell trail and it starts raining the next day, and this person named Benigna, who's played by Montserrat Carulla. Oh, fucker.
Perfect.
Yeah. She shows up to the house, to the orphanage, saying that she is a social worker. Laura answers the door. Laura says, oh, sorry, there's no interviews today. You know, thinking like she's trying to answer like a want ad or something like that.
Yeah.
But Benigna says she is there to talk about Simone and has a folder on him, like in her hand, in her possession.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting in like the little waiting room or what do you want to call it. And Laura explains that she bought her childhood orphanage. And now they will be taking on, like you said earlier, about 5 to 6 special needs kids. Because Benigna is like, oh, you know, this is way too much work for just you two, you and your husband.
Yeah, I think she thinks they're going to like take in like 20 kids or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we learn from the folder is that Simone has some kind of sort of disease. And Benigna is telling Laura there are new treatments available and kind of telling her like, hey, maybe try some of these new treatments. You can maybe help Simone out.
Mm-hmm.
Laura kind of gets a little upset and she says, Carlos is a doctor and they're aware of the new treatments, but they are fine and they don't want, they basically don't want Benigna, or she doesn't want Benigna kind of like nosing around in their business.
Yeah.
She asks Benigna to leave and explains that Simone doesn't know he's adopted or about the disease.
He doesn't know that he's HIV positive.
Is that what it was? I don't even know that.
Yeah.
See that. Okay. Yeah.
Because they kept saying disease and you're like, okay. And then when she says HIV positive, I'm like, oh, like, okay, that's a big disease. Got it.
How did I not?
She says it quick, like near the end.
I was writing it down.
Being there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Jackass. That's what they call me.
Oh, stop.
So Laura keeps Simone's file and locks it in a drawer in the kitchen, which will come back later. Next scene, they are sleeping. And they hear like this, or well, Laura does. They hear this like metal clanging noises. And Laura just goes out to investigate by herself.
Well, she wakes up Carlos, whose ass falls back asleep.
He does the same thing. Oh, yeah. You know, like immediately.
He's like, I'm there, babe.
So the clanging is coming from a shed on their property.
Mm-hmm.
And the door to the shed is kind of swinging open. And she goes inside, which is, I'm just, the logic in horror movies is so crazy. You don't have a light.
Yeah.
You don't have a bat or something. You don't have anything to like protect yourself.
That's true. If I were going to go exploring, I would have a light and a weapon, or I would wake up my husband who is sleeping. Like, I'll shake your ass till you actually wake up.
Get up. Damn.
We're exploring. Yeah.
Go back to sleep, husband.
Get up.
So she's sneaking around inside, and she finds out it's Benigna. Benigna with a shovel. And she's just like in the corner. Like
creep.
Oh. And she just kind of shuffles off into the darkness with a shovel. And it's like, what the
fuck? She's so creepy. And she's got like those big glasses, which make her eyes look like big old owl eyes. And
yes.
And like scuttles away, which is scary.
It is scary. So basically, Laura wakes up Carlos again for the second time. And they kind of look around a little bit more and they don't find Benigna, but he tells Laura to go sleep with Simone, and then they will call the cops if they see her again.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that the course of action you would take? Someone's on your property snooping around. You're like, yeah, we'll just do it. We'll do it later.
Deal with it in the morning. Me? No, I'd probably call the cops right then.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that he immediately believes her. Throughout most of this movie, he still believes her. He never makes her feel weird or shitty for the most part. And when he does, a lot of it's mixed up with grief.
Yes. Yes. He has normal reactions throughout most of this. Yeah. Unlike some other characters in other movies.
It's like most of the horror movies we see where they're like, babe, you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Oh, he
sounds like that. But
you're talking about Mika, the day trader?
Mika! Suck a dick, Mika.
See?
If you haven't listened to our episode of Paranormal Activity, there's your shout out. Go do it.
Mika. Okay.
Fuck you, Mika.
Sid's favorite character. So, Simone is bugging the shit out of Laura. They're like laying in bed, and Simone is like, mom is trying to sleep, and she's like, he's like, can I wake up now? And she's like, just, yes, you can wake up. Just get away from me.
Quit poking me in the face.
Seriously. It was driving me crazy.
She was way sweeter than I'm not sweet when I wake up. I'm very tired and grouchy. I don't know how sweet I'd be if someone was poking me in the face.
No, me neither. So later, Laura opens the front door and sees a trail of shells.
Mm-hmm.
And then a door mysteriously shuts inside the house, and she kind of hears it and turns. And then the playgrounds are making weird, they're creaking and moving by themselves. Okay.
Ugh, I love ghost stories. They're so good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It was the wind.
Yeah, and ghosts. Duh.
It was the wind.
Jack, someday you and I are going to go to a legit haunted house. Not one of the attractions, because I'm a big fucking baby and I can't handle attractions. But a real haunted house, and we will skulk around and you'll be like, there's nothing here. And I'll be like, yeah, ghosts. And it'll be a lot of fun.
I will be raining on your parade.
I know.
A 2000s movie.
I'm well aware.
And I'll be nice and gray, too.
Hey, Oscar can come, too. It'll be, we'll do a little show. Yeah,
come along.
Haunted House episode. Let's go.
Let's go, baby! I did have a partner take me to a haunted house for one of my birthdays. Like, a legit one.
Yeah.
Because he knew I'm a creep, and I liked it. Yes.
And confirmations of ghosts?
Okay. I didn't see anything, but I felt like it was definitely spooky, and I felt like different vibes in rooms where people got murdered. It was scary. You could feel a chill. There was something there.
Was this a particular house where someone got...
Yes.
A family got murdered? Okay.
I told you I'm a creep. Leave me alone.
I'm not. No, I'm just saying.
No. Yes, it was.
It's probably windy that day. Okay, so...
Oh, my God. Fuck you. It was probably windy that day.
It was probably dreary and raining, you know?
Shut up. No, it was bright.
Dumping and dreary. You went in the daytime?
Yeah. Well, they had an option where you could, like, stay overnight.
But yeah.
I'm a big fucking baby, and I opted not to do that.
If it's the one I know, I think you're talking about, like, I don't think they don't have, like, good beds there. So, like, fuck that. You're getting back pains. Sleeping on that shit.
I don't know what you're thinking about, but, like, maybe you should tell me off air, because... It would give us locations.
Okay. So, next scene. Simone is reading Peter Pan while Laura is sewing.
Mm-hmm.
Simone asks about Wendy in the story and whether she grew old and dies. Wow, Simone. Way to break it down.
Well, that's a pretty normal kid reaction.
I guess I wasn't a normal kid.
You didn't run around asking people about death? Yeah, no.
When are you going to die? Hey, mister, when are you going to die?
I definitely never did that.
Well, Simone does, because he asks Laura how old she is, and she's like, 37. And then he's like, well, when are you going to die? And
she's like, oh, bitch, you're grounded.
You little shit, why don't you poke me in the eyes just for you to tell me that? Like, I just put rude kid in my notes.
Oh, he's 7.
I know, he has questions about death.
Yeah.
Something as a parent, I'm sure you don't want to have to tell your kids, but it does come up, I'm sure. Simone says he will never grow old, just like his new friends, all 6 of them. They're just like, what? And even Laura's like, 6? What? Like, she's like kind of taken aback by this news, because mm-hmm. she's thinking that he was talking about just Watson and Pepe.
Watson and Pepe I feel like Watson and Pepe don't ask him deep questions. Like, they don't probe deep. Like, these new friends, they're thinkers. Watson and Pepe are just there for a good time.
Yeah. They're just basic bitch friends.
These are my basic bitch friends.
That's why I keep them around. They don't ask the hard questions.
I mean, fair.
Next scene. Laura is picking up. So at one point, Simone was like working on a drawing. He's like scribbling away like the Ring kid, you know, going crazy. Mm-hmm. And Laura finds that drawing. And mm-hmm. there is a kid in that drawing with a bag on his head. Like, all the other kids look, you know, normal. They don't have they're not wearing a Halloween mask.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has a bag on his head. It's
Poor
creepy.
Kid. It is creepy.
So she asks Simone, I like this. This is like, why don't they do this in horror movies more often? She approaches her son and asks him, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Instead of like taking him to a psychologist or like talking to Carlos and like, oh my God, I think something's wrong. He's drawn bags over kids' heads. She
Our asked kids him directly. Weird. Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure.
I mean, he is weird, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like most kids are kind of weird. Anyways. Yeah. No, I like that too. I like that she talks to him mostly like an adult. Like she mm-hmm. validates him and talks to him and listens to him, which is nice.
Yeah. But his explanation is batshit, and she probably should have just taken to him psychologist. So he explains that the friends steal treasures that you love, and you have to find them.
Foreshadow.
It's like, what are you talking about, mm-hmm. Simone? He says that he had these gold coins that some old guy gave to him in a park or something, which is, I want to hear that story.
I know, I'm like, what do you
mean? Is that Watson and or Pepe?
Gave you money. Back up.
Yeah, so that's his treasure, and they're missing. So he's like, yeah, my friends just took my shit, and it's a fun game.
This is our game.
So Simone shows Laura where he had these. He has like a little treasure chest, and there's like a little tin. And she's mm-hmm. like, this is where they were. And she opens it, and she's like, oh, these are just milk teeth?
Yeah, like his baby teeth.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, some people call them milk teeth.
That's disgusting.
I mean, you don't keep them. You get your grown-up teeth.
But there's like a full kid's head's worth of teeth in that thing. Well, it's not just one or two.
Yeah. He lost all his baby teeth. Got adult teeth.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm weird. I put them under my pillow and I got some fucking money for that shit. He needs to be like
that's
thinking
true.
About capitalism and shit. I don't know.
Well, but like if they're in there, maybe someone jacked them from mom. Because like... parents usually keep that shit, right? So I don't.
So you think she had all these milk teeth somewhere?
Yeah,
that was her treasure somewhere. And then okay,
she's like, "Let me hang on to these gross, bloody teeth." Hell yeah, let's go, that's baby!
Disgusting, disgusting.
I don't know. I am not a parent. She'd
grind them up and use them as coffee creamer.
Okay, let's not do that. I'll just buy you some coffee creamer. Don't steal children's teeth. Jack is actually the haunted tooth fairy.
I'm the haunted tooth fairy. Yeah.
It's like, come here, kids. Give me your teeth for creamer.
Hey, kids, I'll give you some gold coins for those teeth. In the park.
Is that Pepe? Run away!
Oh, my God. That's so milk teeth. I've never heard that before. That's so disgusting. I guess I'm weird, though. Okay, so Laura wants to help Simone find his treasure. And this, I can't remember what this is called. It's like a trope thing where you like...
Oh, like a scavenger hunt?
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. If you put it that way, yes. It is kind of like that. But I meant more the like, oh, you know, Sid, you have a sack of beans and you need a shirt. So I'm going to grab the beans and trade it for the shirt. And then the shirt is traded for... Like, it's just like this never-ending like bartering thing. What is that? I don't know. But that's what this treasure hunt feels like.
Yeah.
So they grab, this is so weird. So they go, I don't know how they put this together too, because there's not a lot of logical jumps between all this stuff, but they go outside and grab sand from outside. It's like torrential downpouring, you know, dumping and dreary as always. And they like are digging around in the sand and Laura finds another clue. It's like a little, it goes to the sewing box. I don't know if it's the thimble or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So they're oh my God, the sewing box. I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, I didn't write all these down just because this one moved quick. There's a treasure hunt later that's slower, but this one's like rapid fire.
This is ridiculous. And how did they figure all this out so quickly?
I don't know. Maybe they're online with the ghost children because I would not have made those leaps because they find the sand. I think they find where the milk teeth were and where they were kept was sand. And she's like, oh, let's go to the beach. And he's like, no, you have to stay in the house. So that's why they're like, where's sand in the house? Oh, it's in the garden.
Yes, I'm sorry. There was like a little sand in that tin where the milk teeth were. So that was the clue, I guess. And somehow Simone knew not to go outside the bounds of the house. These ghost children have a lot of rules. So they open the sewing box and there's like this metal ornament thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't tell what it was. And... somehow that leads them to a nesting doll.
Yeah.
And they're like taking apart the doll and taking apart the doll. And they get to the last one and then they find a key. And the key, I don't know how Simone knows this too, But it goes to the drawer in the kitchen where Laura hid all the papers on Simone.
Uh-oh. Naughty.
That's not good.
Naughty ghost children.
Let's hope he can't read that well because it's a medical report.
These ghost children are just little shit stirrers. They're like, hey, what's up? We're going to lead you to some secret medical information your parents don't want you to know about. Bye.
Yeah, where's freaking Watson and Pepe when you need them? Holy shit.
Like, come on.
The good friends. Yeah. So he like picks up, he like doesn't even look at the folder, which, you know, he's seven. I wouldn't expect him to be reading that. But he like picks up the folder. He's like, yay, it's my name. And like coins fall out. And so treasure hunt over, treasure. Right?
Yay.
Yeah, well, it opens up a can of worms because the coins fall out. But Laura's kind of suspicious of all this. She's like, how did you, what?
Yeah. She's like, it's not nice that you take our stuff and hide our things. Like, this is not a good game. Don't play this. And he's like, it was my ghost children friends.
Yeah, he swears he didn't set up the game and it was his new friends. And it comes out that his friends told him Laura is not his mom and he will die. Good mm-hmm. friends.
I know. Friend. I'm like, you guys kind of suck.
We find out that the one that told him all this is Tomas, which is one of the kids.
Tomas.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole scene escalated so quickly. It's like the logical jumps for the treasure hunt were baffling. And then all of a sudden, Laura's blaming Simone. And then Simone's like, you're not my mom and I'm going to die. It's like, okay. Oh, my God. This all happened real quick.
Yeah.
So now Carlos and Laura sit down with Simone like they're going to give him the sex talk. It's really weird. And they want to kind of get everything on the table and talk about everything. So he asks, first important question, what the first thing you would ask here, is Santa real?
I mean, fair. I remember sitting my parents down at one point, and kind of like this, like just sitting them down very seriously and looking at them and being like, Santa's not real, is he? This is like a very serious conversation. It's
and important. Did their eyes dart across the room and they avoided the question too?
No, I think it's because I sat them down like with this grave little face and they're like, okay, yes. I mean,
grave
yes, that's true. I did. But again, this is back to your point. I like that they speak to him. They answer any questions. They're not trying to hide anything from him minus the Santa question. But yeah. They're like honest. They answer any questions he has. I like their dynamic, their little threesome family. It's yeah. nice.
And Carlos even says to him, like, hey, we were really planning on to tell you this later, but I guess now that you somehow know because you're ghost friends.
Stupid ghosts.
He asks, what if he didn't take the meds? Mm-hmm. And Carlos explains that it would take days or weeks for anything to happen to Simone, like for him to die or whatever. So,
yeah.
And that's really it. They don't really go into the adoption stuff at all. It's just the pills. Mm-mm. I thought that would be more part of the conversation because it was kind of a double whammy there with the information he was getting. All right.
That's true. I wonder if some of it was more of just finding out that a trusted parent figure lied to him. But once they sit down and like they're speaking to him honestly, then he's like, man, I don't give a shit. Tell me about Santa.
And yeah, he goes straight to the top. Anyway, so next scene. Everything is set up for the kids to arrive to mm-hmm. to kind of live at the orphanage now. So the rooms, the bathrooms, everything is all decorated. You know, it's kind of like a party vibe. They had all these mm-hmm. decorations and stuff set up. Laura tries to get Simone to come meet the kids, you know, because like, hey, here's some real kids that you can't put your hand through. Come meet these guys.
Come meet France.
And they won't tell you shitty secrets that are actually end up being the truth. Oops. But Simone wants Laura to see Thomas's house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's adamant. He's like getting all pissed off about it. And she has this, I just said Simone's being a little shit and makes Laura spill the cake everywhere. Like she has like an Oreo cake or something like that. And I wanted a bite of that so bad.
Oh, that's why. Because he threw a temper tantrum and then it escalates and she smacks him. But I missed the part where he makes her spill the cake.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And I didn't lead to the conclusion where she does hit him and kind of immediately regrets it. Like, yeah. Oh, shit. If you don't want to come down, that's fine. Bye. And then like, gets out of the
room. She's like, oh, anyway, see you later. Bye.
Yeah. I also thought this was weird. It's like a fucking Eyes Wide Shut party. They all have masks on and stuff.
No,
What is this party?
Maybe
this is a cultural thing. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, it's just a bunch of kids and adults running around in like little animal masks. There is no
it's creepy
sexy time happening. Because
I know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let me clarify. When I said that, I was just referring to the mask part, not anything else.
I haven't seen that movie.
Me neither. Oh. I just know Tom Cruise is like, ooh, look at the, like looking through the mask. Whatever.
Gross.
So we're kind of getting a lay of the land of the party. Everyone's outside having fun. Most of the kids are wearing masks. You know, the adults are wearing them and they're trying to put masks on the kids. Like, oh, how was a good time. But there's a creepy little kid just standing there with no one else around him and he has a bag over his head.
Yeah.
And Laura doesn't see him. He's like kind of off by the shed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they've kind of been making the rounds with all the kids and everything. And now Laura wants to go look for Simone, but she can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking in every room. She goes to the second floor and she gets to the end of the hall, which is the bathroom. And she turns around and Tomas is at the end of the hall and whistles, like has like a little dog whistle or something and whistles to her.
Yeah. He's also in the little blue, it's not a dress, but like the little blue tunic all the orphans were wearing back in the day.
Yeah, it's like the old school dress that they had to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Not dress, but like attire.
Yeah.
So he slowly is like walking towards Laura and making these creepy like proto Mike Myers sounds. Like,
yes, he's making little growling noises.
He hasn't perfected it yet.
Although I like yours better.
Thank you. I don't think I'd ever do that again, so don't ask me to. She thinks it's Simone, and she kind of tries to like take the mask off, and he freaks out. Tomas yeah. freaks out and pushes her, and she grabs the door jamb, and then he slams the door on her hands.
Oh, God. They do a really good job of letting the audience know how painful this would be, because they stay on that shot for a while.
Yeah, it's great. Loved it. Oh. I was looking down writing my notes. I didn't look up for that part. So he opens the door and then pushes her, and then she kind of like falls into the bathroom, falls into the tub.
Yeah.
And then Tomas closes the door and locks it.
Yeah, he holds up like the key up against the little glass window in the door so she can see that she's locked in.
Mm-hmm. And then she looks at her hand and it's fucking disgusting because the thumbnail is like all destroyed and she like peels it off. And I can't watch that shit. It's disgusting.
I had to look away at that part. That was nasty.
Oh my God. So she yells for Carlos, and the next scene he is like prying the door open with a bunch of the partygoers around him, and some of them are still wearing the mask for some reason. It's so weird.
I'm not sure why everybody kept following them around. I'm like, you guys can wait outside.
It's just to be creepy, which I guess it's annoying.
Oh.
After she gets busted out of the bathroom by Carlos, she's running around trying to find Simone still, and she looks under the stairs. There's like a half door thing that's just a closet under the stairs. She opens it and like some like they look like scaffolding.
Yeah, they're like structures. Big yellow heavy poles.
They like fall out and like slam the ground, and so all the party goers are like looking at her like what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she like shoves all the stuff back into the closet and then continues running around the party looking for Simone. And I'm just like, why is everyone else still standing around and wearing masks and like pretending the party's still happening when the parents are looking for their kid?
They're freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's to the point where like Laura's like pulling off masks of the kids. Like, are you Simone? And clearly like some of them are girls. So it's kind of funny she's doing that. But all the parents are like, oh my God, that is ridiculous. She's doing that. It's like, what? She's looking for her kid. What do you?
Oh, I know. I felt bad because, yeah, the other adults are just kind of watching. They're not really, like, helping her look. And the kids, yeah. I mean, the kids think it's a game because they're little, but.
Yeah.
Come on, adults.
Jeez. So, well, around the time she starts taking off the masks of the kids, people are starting to get alarmed now. They're kind of snapping out of the whole standing around doing nothing thing. Laura runs to the lighthouse cave and she, like, I don't know, this must have been high tide or something because. Before there was no water and now they're like playing in the ocean and she like trips and like hurts her leg or something. I didn't really quite get that, but
yeah, well, because she's convinced that cave that she and Simone went yes. to a couple days ago, she's convinced he's in there and the tide's rising and she can't get to him. So in her panic when she's like running along the beach, she runs and falls, and she must have like snapped her leg under her or something.
It was a weird moment, because I thought when the camera panned to her leg, I was like, oh, they found Simone's in the water. Like I wasn't putting that together that it was her. And then later on when she was like hobbling around, it's like, oh, okay, that wasn't him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sorry. She's going to the cave, but I guess I didn't realize like, oh, it's high tide and like the cave is inaccessible during high tide or something like that.
Yeah.
But as she's like in the water and Carlos is like, what, snap out of it, what are you doing? Like, she looks in the cave and sees a little kid over there.
Yeah. But when he looks up, he doesn't see anything. He's like, there's no one there. And it's very dramatic. And
then she's like, yes, there is. And she looks back and then there's like a kid running into the cave. And it's like, okay. Love this stuff. So is it all in her head? I don't know.
No, the ghosts are real.
So later, after they have been at the ocean and Carlos gets Laura away while they're kind of swimming, you know, playing in the water, playing on the beach. we get a shot later on that shows like a boat searching. So presumably they're thinking someone got washed out to sea or is it drowned or something like that. And Laura is at the hospital for her injuries, for her freaking fingers and her leg. Carlos comes in with Pilar, who is played by Mabel Rivera. And she says she's talking about how they've searched the cave and no one's there. And they couldn't find any trace of Simone. Pilar is a psychologist, and she wants to speak with Laura. She says she's a psychologist, but it kind of comes out later that I don't know if that's actually what she is. But
well, she works with the police to like help solve missing children cases.
Yeah, she just seems like she's like I don't know, kind of the liaison, or maybe like she is the go between the parents and the police or something. Mm-hmm. So she brings up Benina. And she's kind of talking about how they found evidence of someone sneaking around on the property. And we're kind of asking about that. And so Pilar says there is no social worker by that name. So Benina lied to Laura about that.
Yay.
And they kind of hint that they think maybe like Simone's biological parents or somehow, or like someone that knows that Simone is adopted. They're like trying to take him back or something like that. So they're investigating that. Him. Yeah, they're investigating that as an option of what happened. So now Carlos is comforting Laura. And they're back at the house. He's comforting Laura in her wheelchair. And when they go to bed, Laura is having a dream. She's swimming. And she hears the whistle that Tomas used earlier during the party. She gets out of bed. And again, Carlos doesn't wake up. She's just... which you think he would wake up?
Yeah, he is forever sleeping. Like, I don't know if he takes a sleeping pill or what, but he is just like, boop, knocked
nothing
out.
Wakes him up, though.
Lucky fuck. Everything wakes him up.
He could probably sleep through a kid poking him in the eyes, you know? So anyway, she gets out of bed and she's rolling around and she hears walking around upstairs.
Yep.
Or something moving upstairs. She goes to Simone's room and there is she like puts her ear against the wall and hears like a crash. So more evidence that something is moving around or something like that. She goes into Simone's room thinking maybe he came back or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's this really messed up fake out for her psychologically because the blankets look like they look like the bed is occupied.
Yeah.
She touches the blankets and lifts it and it's just a little doll. It's her doll sitting there.
It was sad.
Yeah. And, you know, she finally wakes Carlos up and he's involved in this process of like finding the doll and everything.
Yeah.
I hate this scene. This next scene. Bathroom door opens. Bathroom door slams shut. Who cares? I hate it.
Oh, I didn't even write it down. I was like, that's a nothing burger.
It's just like Paranormal Activity where like they're trying to ramp up stuff and like they keep showing this like incremental stuff that doesn't really matter.
It means the ghosts are more active.
Yeah, he's using the shitter. Whatever.
They're having parties, Jack. God. How dare you?
Okay. So now, and I didn't get this until way later, but I guess this is Carlos in this scene. So he is like, he has like a situation room. He has like a map and like photos and he's putting pins in all these different places on the map.
Yeah.
So I don't even really know what he's doing exactly. And it's not really explained, but I guess maybe they're probably pinning where they're where they've checked for Simone or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, just kind of like a visual representation of them having searched for Simone because time has passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And while he's doing this, there's a news broadcast playing and it talks about Simone being gone for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while now.
Yeah.
So now Carlos and Laura are in a grief support group and she's telling them about Simone and how, oh, you know, I, she's talking to a group of people that have lost their children.
Yeah.
And they're basically saying like, all the other parents are talking about similar feelings of like, oh, I felt my child there. I thought I saw her. And it's like a comforting, it's supposed to be a comforting thing where like, hey, mom, I'm good now. You can move on and not hold this like.
Yeah. Like my child's ghost came back to be like, I'm okay. I'm at peace kind of thing.
Yeah. But Laura doesn't take it this way. She is like, look, bitches, my kid's still out. He's still alive. You motherfuckers.
She's like, I'm not like you losers with dead kids. Mine's just missing. God, we are not the same.
Yeah. So, and Carl, this is where I think her and Carlos start to kind of like diverge because he is, I think, wanting to go through this grief process, realizing that Simone is probably dead. Mm-hmm. And Laura's pretty sure that he's still alive or missing or whatever. And so this is where they kind of diverge in what they think happened to Simone at this point.
Yep.
Oh, she does say that Simone's friends took him. So it's another thing where everyone's like, okay, lady, you know, like kind of thinking she's crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I like that even though Carlos, like you said, like Carlos and Laura are starting to split, he still supports her as much as he can, even though he's also grieving.
Yeah. So they're now driving back to the home from the grief support group, and they, at a stoplight, encounter Benina. She's just walking with a stroller on the street, and she kind of like turns with her glasses, and it's like huge eyes looking at them. And Laura's like, "That's her! It's her! Oh my god!"
She's and very like, distinctive looking.
Yeah, she is. So they get out and they yell at her name, yell her name out. And as soon as they do, she gets hit by a van.
Yeah. Benina.
Boom. Benina blam.
Blam. Yes.
At this part, I did not like the cinematography. Oh, my God. This is going to make me puke. So it's all hectic and stuff. So, like, Carlos runs out, goes to Benina. Like, a crowd forms around Benina's body. And everyone's like, oh, my God. But the camera follows Laura and it's like all shaky cam, like following her as she's running through the street and she's running all weird because her leg is still screwed up. But God, this was giving me like motion sickness watching this part.
Well, yeah. Cause she's running to the bus because the bus that hit Benina also hit the stroller that Benina was pushing. Yeah. So she's running to see if there's like any clues. So she is reaching under that bus, scrabbling for anything.
Yep. And I don't know if she thought Simone was in that or what, but what it ends up being is it's a little doll, and the doll looks like Tomas. Little bag-headed doll.
Little bag boy.
And during this time when she's finding this out, Carlos is trying to save Benina.
Yeah.
He's a doctor, and he just kind of looks at her and, like, you know, shakes his head like, sorry, she's gone. Laura goes to grab, there's like a little whistle on her jacket. She's like, huh. I wonder if that kind of reminds you of the Tomas whistle. So she goes to grab it, and then Benina's like, ah! And like, you know, jump scares us. I hate that shit.
Yeah. Also, Benina's jaw is like halfway ripped off, which also, when Carlos is trying, because like you said, he's a doctor, he's trying to resuscitate Benina, and he's giving her CPR, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then he goes down to do mouth to mouth, and I'm like, wait! And he looks up, and he's got like blood all over his face.
Good point. What mouth was he trying to blow air into?
The one where the jaw's half ripped off. Like,
yeah, that was disgusting. She's got
plenty of air space.
Give her air. She has it.
She has it.
Yeah, I did not like that. That was not a great scene, the fucked up jaw thing.
We're so like on. One glorious half second before all this terror happens, before Benigna gets hit by the truck or whatever. There's a donkey dressed up in Santa costume.
What? So,
yeah, there's a donkey. He's got a Santa hat on. He's got little Santa garb in the background.
I miss Santa donkey.
So if you want more of the trauma, you can pause the movie and just enjoy a little Santa donkey.
Santa's brutal.
Father Christmas is real. He's just an ass.
Oh. Boo.
Wow. Dad jokes. Looks like that a boo.
That wasn't Santa a dad joke.
Donkey doesn't say hee-haw. He says hee-ho-ho-ho.
That was also a dad joke. And I boo them both. Boo.
Rarely do we get the double boo, Oscar. Let me tell you that.
Doesn't happen. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, we are a team.
Boo, 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 boo.
I haven't booed you in a while, Jack. It's you were getting a little too too
must
spicy.
Not have been recorded because I feel like it happened a lot. Pretty much every episode.
That's true.
Yeah. So next scene, Pilar says that they found pictures at Benina's house, which is kind of, this is kind of weird, because would a like a police investigation share these photos with someone? I don't know. It just seems weird, like how they're like, hey, yeah, you, Laura, you want to see these film reels and photos and stuff?
Well, that's true because they leave them with her,
right? And it's like, does Benina not have like other family? I guess maybe not, but
plus it's also been like 6 months. Maybe if they'd found it like right after it happened, they wouldn't have. But maybe they kind of think like, well, the case is cold, so you can just have these
here. These are
because it kind of it kind of feels like Laura's the only one still looking. Everyone else is kind of like, he's dead, girl, move on.
You know, it is kind of like the police kind of giving up. That's what that feels like, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what it felt like to me.
Anyway, so it's all these pictures of the orphanage and the kids that went there. And so she's having Laura identify people in the photo. And she's like, oh, that's Martin. And Bob, you know, she like names everyone. And then Pilar like kind of points at a person in the back. She's like, what about her? She's like, I don't know who the fuck that is. She's like, wait a second, that's Benina? And she has the glasses, so obviously it's her.
Ta-da!
Pilar says that Benina did not work there very long. Mm-hmm. And she had a son, Tomas, who disappeared while playing. So essentially what happened, and he was, and part of the reason that maybe Laura didn't see Tomas or know about him is that he was hidden because he had a deformity. So he had a bag on his head to kind of hide that.
Yeah.
But they kept him in a different part of the orphanage.
They kept him in the basement. It was very like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because he has to wear a mask. And it kind of looked like deformity, but it almost looked like he just got like huge burn scars all over him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what ended up, what Pilar actually says is that the kids wanted to like played a trick on Tomas and like took him to the cave to like get like take off his mask so they could see him or something like that. And what ended up happening is he ended up staying over there and like drowning. So I guess when maybe high tide came and he couldn't get out of there or something.
Yeah, because they took his mask and then they're like, just to see if he would come out so that they could actually see his face. And he was so ashamed that he just stayed in the cave and drowned.
Oh, that's even worse.
Really fucking sad.
Well, okay. I'm sorry, but like the other kids had issues too. Like, could they not have just like integrated him into the group? Like, I don't understand why he had to like be off on his own.
Yeah, I think because the adults ostracized him and he lived by himself, it kind of like that pack mentality, especially with like kids. If one kid is being shunned, especially by the adults, that gives you free rein to like basically bully the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. We've been to school, everyone, haven't we? We know that.
Hooray!
Watching Carrie. Hey, call back to that too.
Yeah, go listen to our Carrie episode.
Well, it's a good thing that Tomas didn't have, like, benevolent powers or anything like that. Oh.
Just in death, girl!
Okay, so Laura... I wrote down, Laura says Tomas was in the house.
Yeah, she's telling Pilar, like, no, I saw him the day of the party.
Oh, in the house of that... tricking myself. Yeah, so she's like, I saw Tomas at the party in the house. Mm-hmm. Like he's the one that fucked up my hands. Like, see these things?
Yes, bitch.
So Pilar says, no one at the party remembers seeing him. So this goes more to like, oh, people are now don't believe Laura even more, and like she's making up this stuff, or they think she is.
Yeah. Or like it's coming up in grief, like any explanation she can come up with.
They also have film of Benina's and it shows Tomas without his mask. And so that's where we get the reveal of like, oh yeah, he looks like he was burned or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome. Next scene, Carlos is at the piano and he can't tickle the ivories today. He's so depressed.
It's too really sad to play.
Too sad to tickle.
Oh no.
The ivories.
No tickling.
Yeah. So next scene, it's at night and Laura, I think maybe the creaking wakes her up. She can hear it again. But she's like turned looking the other direction and she thinks Carlos is behind her in the bed.
Yeah.
Because like something gets into the bed and she's like, oh, Carlos is back. And then she goes on this whole thing about how she starts talking about when they adopted Simone and she's talking about all these good times they had with him and like, you know, how much they loved him and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she notices that there's like a shadow in the bathroom with the light on and the light goes out. And then the door opens and, hey, it's Carlos. And then she's like, what the fuck? What? So someone, and she's like, someone was in the bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, yeah, it was me. The bed's still warm. I was just in there. I just got up to take a leak. Like, but
she's like, oh, it was a ghost. And this is another kind of split where he's like, I don't think it was, babe.
So again, this movie does it very well, where it's continually ramping up the wedge that is being driven between Laura and Carlos. But it's done well because it keeps ramping up. The only bad scene so far is bathroom door open, bathroom door slam shut. I don't care for that because it didn't really lead to anything. But
a little nothing burger.
Yeah. Okay, so now Laura attends a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's about paranormal activity, not the movie. And so this person named Balaban, played by Edgar Vivar, he's given a presentation. And at the very end, we see that Balaban and Laura are talking. So she's telling about her son that is missing. And this guy seems interested and is actually listening to Laura. So she's finally finding an ally in all this.
Yeah.
She shows him the piece of cloth from Tomas. Which is kind of like, why didn't you use that as proof earlier with all the other people in this movie? But
I'm sure they would have just been like,
sure,
you got that dress from somewhere else in the house or something.
Sure. Balaban proposes doing an exorcism at the orphanage, and he says he has a special friend that he really trusts that he wants to like introduce to Laura and set up a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So the next scene, we meet Aurora, who's played by Geraldine Chaplin. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of walking through the room and like, oh, yes, the energy. And she asks like certain questions about the orphanage. And they said, oh, no, the bedroom is back that way. And she's like, I think we'll start here. And it's I think it's in Simone's room, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so. Okay.
Yep.
So they are joined by, it's Aurora, Carlos, Laura, Balaban. And then there's also Enrique, played by Andres Gertrude.
You're doing great, bud.
Sounds right. We'll just call him Andres. And he is like the tech guy. He's the one that runs all the equipment. So you got like the team, the paranormal team that's here to help them kind of solve their problems.
I do love these. I always love when ghost movies are like, okay, we're going to bring in a ghost expert and we're going to figure out what happened. And they're setting up all their little equipment. I love it.
I did enjoy this too. Very a la Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Like Aurora have, like, is a tiny Zelda.
Yeah. She didn't have like that tiny little high pitched voice, but she's still pretty great.
Yeah. I preferred Aurora's timber and everything. So, yes.
This house is clean.
Very nice. This was probably my favorite part of the movie. I do like this, like, all right, we're getting the team together and we're going to fight some. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So They hear a sound as Aurora's kind of doing her little surveying thing. And she's like, oh, we are not alone. We are not alone. And then right on cue, the doorbell rings. And Carlos is like, I thought we needed a cop here. So I invited Pilar and she wants to join in on the thing. And Laura's face is like, you son of a bitch. Like, you can tell she's so pissed.
Fucking Carlos is like, I need someone else here with me who doesn't believe this because I'm wildly outnumbered right now.
He's like, I need another skeptic in this room because, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And it's funny because I think the translation and the subtitles, Aurora just says, oh, the cops is cool or something. Yeah. Like that. I was like, what?
Cops are cool. Like,
yeah. So she's fine having Pilar here, which I was kind of surprised there wasn't going to be like some kind of like, you know, headbutting between those two, but there really wasn't.
Yeah.
So Enrique sets up all the surveillance equipment and Balaban kind of is getting Aurora prepared for this seance. So she's sitting in a chair. She's asked them to bring like something very old and some stuff that'll connect her to the history of the house.
Yeah.
So Balaban starts walking down the stairs to join the group. So it's basically everyone in one room watching the monitors that are trained on Aurora. And Aurora sitting in a chair by herself, trying to get into the seance mood or whatever you want to call it.
Could it be me? Like, I could hang out in the control room and watch you go back in time and hang out with ghosties, but it's not going to be me talking to the ghosts. Uh-uh.
I would happily go back in time and talk to some ghosts. For you, Sid. I would.
Aww.
Yeah. So they're also filming and sound recording this whole thing, too. So Enrique mm-hmm. gets all this going. So we're prepared.
We're ready.
Balaban talks Aurora through the seance. He's kind of like, okay, you're getting this mindset, blah, blah, blah. We're going to count down from 10, and then you're going to be back in time with all the with the feeling of this orphanage back then. Mm-hmm. So Aurora goes into the trance, and she says, oh, instantly she says it's cold, and she goes to close a window, which I don't think is open, but of course it has to be cold. That's always a ghost trope.
Duh.
Mm-hmm. She hears something, and she walks out of the bedroom and into the parents' bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And during all this, I like this little part too. Enrique is like has a layout of the house and is like tracing where she moves.
I thought that was cool too. I like that they had the little blueprint and they're like basically following her along on it. It's like, oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Smart, right? Scientific, sure. Some might say. She says she hears children talking, and Enrique's equipment is picking this up too. They're getting little sine waves.
That was a good effect. I like that we could hear the ghost kids too.
Yeah. The children are saying they are sick and they want her to. So she's like in the hallway now. She's walked out of the parents' bedroom. She's in the hallway and she has like her face up to this door that's closed. And she can hear the kids behind it. And they're saying they want her to open the door. They're scared. They're sick. They're going to kill us. Like it's a lot of bad stuff. And Aurora finally opens the door and she looks horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And says, what have they done to the children? She says the children are in the room. So this is the nursery room.
Yeah.
Where the beds were set up, where the kids were at. She said that the kids were poisoned or they look poisoned or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're dying.
And it's sad because while she is telling us that, because we can't see what she can see, but we can hear the kids and they're crying and they're, it's sad. Those kid actors did a good job.
Yeah. Right around this time, the screens start flickering and going blank, which is always a good sign. Balaban's like, oh, fuck, we need to get out of this. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 8. He like counts down and gets her out of the seance as quick as he can. And then the screens all come back on. And somehow Aurora is sitting in the chair she started in, so like in a different room. And so Enrique quickly like draws like a quick line, like straight back to the
zip. Yeah.
So, and she's fine. I mean, nothing really has happened. And later on, here in a little bit, she's explaining her experience to everyone, particularly Laura. She's talking to Laura mostly.
Yeah.
She's talking about how the house was different. It was older. The kids were all in their beds laying down. And they keep asking, well, Laura keeps asking, did you see Simone? Did you see Simone? She even said that back when she was in the trance. But she said, I couldn't see any of their faces. It was too dark.
Yeah. So and she said there were five kids.
Yes. Carlos is skeptical about Aurora, what Aurora is seeing and describing. And Aurora kind of explains that she said, those who are close to death are more.
Yeah. Like more likely to see ghosts.
More able to see, more receptive. Yeah. Which Laura kind of puts together. It's like, well, okay. So you mean that because Simone was about like close to death, it was easier for them to talk to him basically and show up,
which was a creepy little nugget. I liked that.
Not only that, but like, you know, Aurora holds her hand, arm out, and there's just like all these little wounds. So like apparently she's done this a lot or something.
Well, and I like to like, because Carlos kind of freaks out even before all this starts. Like you're saying, Jack, he's very skeptical. But to me, it kind of always felt like he's angry, but it felt more protective because he doesn't want them to give her hope when he's trying to get her to move on and accept that Simone is dead.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think ultimately that's what Carlos wants. And
yeah.
And so like what it feels like to him, I think, is that any talk of Simone being alive still is just dragging on her grief, which is going to make it harder for her to get over this. So
I like the nuance in their relationship.
Yeah. He does pull a like Mika a little bit and is like, all right, everyone get the fuck out of here. Like he like kind of snaps and like tells everyone to leave.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like Pilar, because she wasn't saying any skeptical stuff during any of this shit. And then all of a sudden she's like, yeah, I agree with Carlos. This is all kind of wacky. Like, I don't really get these mediums. They're tricking you. And Laura kind of blows up on her and she asks, how many other children have disappeared in this village? Like, kind of like, maybe go focus on other. Like, if you you clearly don't care about my kid because you haven't done jack shit. You haven't found me any answers. So go focus on some other crimes. And she tells her to leave. She's like, you weren't really... like, we didn't want you here anyway, so fuck off.
Basically. Yeah. Which, fair enough.
Yeah. So they, Pilar leaves, and then they've packed up all their gear, and the paranormal group is about to leave, and Laura kind of scrambles down to the van and asks Aurora what she should do. Mm-hmm. And Aurora is very cryptic. This is really annoying. Well, she's like, all you gotta do is believe. You just have to believe. It's like, okay.
She's like, you see, but you don't believe. You think seeing is believing, but believing is how you see. And that's
and I'm just
how like, far are you willing to go?
Wow. Wow, that was amazing.
Stop.
What great advice.
Okay.
Now I'm pissed. Get out of my driveway.
Get out of my laboratory, Dee Dee.
Loras goes to Carlos. So he's back in his situation room and he starts taking down stuff. Like, okay. Search is over. We're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura's like, what are you doing? Why are you taking all that down? And Carlos wants to leave the orphanage. He's like, we need to leave. He said, maybe not permanently, but at least get away for a while.
Yeah.
And he, you know, Laura's like, no, we got to stay. Like, I got to find Simone. And he freaks out and says that the mediums were fucking with them and like, you know, kind of stringing them along a little bit.
And that they just wanted to be there to see ghosts and that they didn't care about Simone. It wasn't about Simone. It's just because they wanted a ghost experience.
Right. Right. Well, Laura is basically like, okay, Carlos, you can leave if you want, but I'm staying here because I want to find Simone.
Yeah.
So next day, Laura goes to the room where the kids were, meaning the nursery, and she's kind of still kind of aimless and not sure what to do. So she's like, just tell me what you want. And then a window like falls down and smashes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh,
they're like, oh, ta-da.
Pretty clear. And the window falls on like a bench and she like, you know, throws away the cushions and she lifts the bench up and there's like all these, there's pieces of wood with like a wood burn names in them. And it's all the names of the kids.
Yeah. They're little treasure boxes.
Yeah. So she takes all that out and then finds there's a doll. And there's a doll for every kid, which is fucking creepy. And there's one missing.
Mm.
And it's her. She puts her own doll in the little enclosure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what I thought is that, oh, there's one missing and it's Tomas's doll. That's what I thought.
Oh, interesting.
But when she put hers there, I'm like, oh, okay. Mm. She was one of the original. I guess Tomas, because he was like quarantined elsewhere, they probably didn't
make
it. He had a doll made, but it stayed apart.
Stayed in the basement.
Aww. Yeah. She finds pictures under one of the dolls, and it's Laura holding Simone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like someone's trying to fuck with her still, and she says as much.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the treasure game again.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. Yeah, here comes the notes for that. yeah, so she's like, are you playing with me? And she starts kind of freaking out. But also hears creaking. So, like, something's still around. She then goes to a... okay, yeah, this is where the treasure hunt begins. And this is insane. This is so crazy. I don't know how you would figure this out. So, Aurora, go fuck yourself, because none of this is like, oh, just believe. It's like, no, you got to be a detective and follow these goddamn clues.
True.
Holy shit. Okay, so she goes to a photo album, mm-hmm. where the photo came from, I guess, and finds a dead rose. Mm-hmm. She pulls out the rose, and she's like, wonder where this goes. Oh, to a bush. She goes to the rose bush, and then she finds like a rolled up little piece of cloth. She unrolls it. And it's the thing she was working on when Simone was reading the Peter Pan story, like the little, like, I don't know what it was, but it's part of a blanket. So she goes, runs upstairs. She finds the blanket that it goes to. Oh my God, there's a candy wrapper. I don't know what that even said, but like, there's a wrapper of something. And then I don't know how she knows this, but she goes to Simone's treasure box.
Well, because when he was showing her all of his treasures, he's like, this is the wrapper from the thing I had when I got my tonsils out.
That's oh my God. God, I didn't pay attention to that. Okay.
It moved fast.
Jeez. Okay, so I guess that's the monumental leap over the gap that we go for that one. In the treasure box, she finds a doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the fuck? Like, so now she's as stumped as I am. She's like, where does the doorknob go? She walks to every single door in this place and can't find where it goes.
Ghosts and then she's cryptic. Like,
oh, shit, the shed. Mm-hmm. She goes to the shed. So she kind of is out of options at the point because there's no place that you can put a doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks around and sees next to these like giant bags of whatever it is. I don't know. But she sees the pendant that Benina was wearing.
Yep.
When she first met her. And it's like it has like two little pictures. And she's like, Benina! And she,
Benina!
She picks it up. And then she starts moving the sacks out of the way. And there's like this like door that's locked.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks up a shovel. And she's banging against it. Kind of like the sounds that were made when Benina was doing it. That night that she caught her. Interesting. She can't get the lock open. So she just like kicks this door down like a badass. And she gets it open, starts pulling out bricks, and there's like even more bags of something, and she keeps pulling those out.
Yeah.
And one of them catches on some of the wood and rips. Yep. So she kind of pulls it, and then she is kind of distraught because she's like, I've pulled all the bags out and I don't see anything.
Yeah.
But she kind of starts sifting around in the bag, which I don't know if this was like ash or something. I'm not sure what this was.
It's ash because those are like old school fireplaces, essentially old school ovens. So it's ash.
Disgusting.
It's bags of ash in there. Yeah.
So in this bag of ash, she finds a jawbone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Uh oh.
And she's like, "Well, shit. I wonder what other treasure is in these other bags." So she opens more, dumps this one out. She finds a skull, and there's a leg brace with the skull. And she opens another one. It's a rib cage, and it's like, and she sees like something that has Martin embroidered on it.
Yeah.
And so it's and like, then, oh fuck.
These like the retainer from, yeah. These are the kids.
Yep.
Kids. Uh-oh.
Yep. So now, next scene, the police are there. And so I thought Carlos had already fucked off and like been like, okay, I'm going to leave. But he reappears magically like a ghost. And so Laura's like in the top, like one of the top windows looking down at Carlos. And he's talking to Pilar. So I thought maybe there was going to be some kind of weird thing where like, oh, they're an item or something like that. I didn't.
Oh.
That it ends up not being the case, but I kind of thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
But instead, Carlos comes upstairs and Laura's watching the film, Benina's film of the orphanage. And it's a scene where the caretaker, one of the caretakers, has made like a meal. And so there's like, you know, pie and all this other stuff, and all the kids are lined up and they're ready to eat and everything like that.
Well, it kind of made me think of, because I thought it was Benina, but it made me think of because they've got a little dish of blackberries and they're putting sugar on it. And I don't know if you ever read We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well there's a scene where, like, I don't remember if it's blackberries, but there's like people taking berries and putting sugar on it, and the sugar is poison. So Laced. That's
okay.
I wondered if they were referencing that or not.
Okay. So that, I mean, it did seem, because this is the point where Carlos walks in while she's walking this and she's like, Benina killed the kids.
Right.
And like, and kind of has put all this together. And she's saying because the kids played a trick on her son, Tomas, and got him killed.
Yeah.
And this is probably a better time than any to introduce the kids. We've been with them throughout this movie, but this is like the time where they're all together in one room. Mm-hmm. So the children are Rita, who's played by Georgina. Oh, my God. Hold on. Rita.
You can do it.
Avellaneda Martin, who is played by Carla Gordillo. Victor, played by Alejandro Camps. Alicia, played by Carmen Lopez. And Guillermo, played by Oscar Lara.
Perfect. What's Guillermo, like Guillermo del Toro?
I know, I can't even say his name, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm just slurring it this whole time.
You're doing great.
So good point. That makes more sense of what happened, of like maybe they poisoned them right then and there with that meal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Still, Carlos still doesn't really believe. I don't know if he doesn't believe that, because all that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know if he, I think he more is just like, I'm done trying to find Simone. I'm trying to move on from this.
Yeah.
And I want to leave still.
Right. Because I don't know how much he believes about the ghost, but the idea that Benina killed them makes sense, because you found all these little tiny bodies in the oven.
Like, and the police are there. And yeah. Like, investigating that part of it. Yeah. So,
well, and I don't know when they say it, but they say it at some point. Like, now we're at 9 months have passed and Simone is still missing.
Yeah. So it's getting bleaker and bleaker in terms of the odds of finding him. So,
right.
Laura asked for 2 days alone in the orphanage because, you know, Carlos is still trying to convince her to leave. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't. I got to stay.
I was like, I need to say goodbye. Just give me 2 days alone here.
And I think Carlos knows. Maybe he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but I don't know if he thinks he's going to see her again. So he gets in his car, kind of looks at her solemnly like, okay, well, I'll see you later. And he just drives off. They don't even say anything to each other. It's kind of weird.
No, she kisses him goodbye. I just got the sense that he like really loved her and was like, okay, she needs to do this. And I'm not going to be able to convince her otherwise. So, okay. Yeah.
So this part, oh my God. Aurora, where are you when we need you? We need to explain what the fuck, what are we doing here? So Laura is getting all the old bedding out and getting all the old bed frames out. And she's going to set up the nursery just the way it was, you know, back in the day. So she's washing all the clothes and the laundry and doing all that stuff. And she's moving all the furniture out of the nursery, all the old furniture back in. Mm-hmm. And she's setting it back up. She places all the dolls on the bed, which, yay. She herself dresses in, like, caretaker's clothes, like the little dress. And she goes and picks berries. Mm-hmm. So what she's doing is recreating the dinner.
Last meal. Yeah.
Yeah. So she sets the table, has all that set up, has the dolls sitting at the table with her. She rings the bell, you know, like, hey, dinner time, everyone.
Dinner!
Yeah. So we get these kind of cool shots where, every bell strike, it's showing a different scene within the orphanage and kind of, like, rotating throughout. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She sets the table. And, she sets the dolls in their place after she's rung the bell. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
She also has her goofy little doorknob with her.
Did she show that ever? Or she just have that?
She just has it. When she's getting ready, she just picks it up and takes it with her.
Okay. I was wondering, because later on, she's just had it magically appears. So she tries to scoop the sugar, but I guess the sugar is still of that age, and it's hard as a freaking rock. And she's like chiseling it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, ah! She kind of freaks out, because she has gone through a lot of fucking work to make this happen.
Yeah.
She's like, my back, my leg, everything hurts.
Everything hurts. Stupid ghost kids.
Yeah. So she's like, what more should I do? Basically, like, I've done everything I can think of. Then she goes to the one of the walls, and she's like, okay, I'm going to play the knock, knock wood game or whatever, you know.
Knock, knock wood game.
Whatever. 1, 2, 3, knock on a wall.
Yeah.
And so she starts knocking.
Yeah.
And keeps turning around every time. And I think the second time the door opens. So she's like, okay, some shit's happening. I'm going to keep doing this. She does it one more time and then sees Martin by himself.
Mm-hmm.
which was freaky when they start appearing. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next time she looks, they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep moving closer and closer. And the last shot is pretty cool, where she knocks, but we're looking over her shoulder so we can see them moving.
Yeah.
And it just shows Martin come up and, like, grab her shirt. So she's tagged now.
Yeah.
And so she has to run and find them before they hide. She runs after one of the girls, and she tries to plead with her. She's like, I'm not trying to hurt you. I just want to know where Simone is.
Yeah.
And the girl doesn't say anything and just runs into that closet that she went in. Well, yeah. She runs into the closet with all the scaffolding and everything, the Harry Potter closet.
Harry Potter?
Yep. So as she's like kind of digging around, trying to find this girl, the door closes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, that's weird. And she opens it back up. And then she keeps digging around, trying to find her. And then the door like slams on her and she's stuck in there.
The door's like, no.
No, you stay in here. It's cool, kind of neat how, like, a lot of things that are set up at the beginning of this come back to be, like, big parts of this. So, like, the wallpaper ripping sequence in the credits.
Yep.
She's now, like, ripping the wallpaper because she found, like, a tiny little hole. She rips it open more, and then, oh, lo and behold, that little doorknob she's been carrying around all day has a place now.
Secret door.
Uh-huh. The door opens. It's a very dark set of stairs leading down, and she gets to the bottom of it, and you can hear, a little freaky kid like running in front of the camera when she's not looking.
Those are some tall stairs too, like they go down for a long time.
It's the the sub basement,
basement.
Yeah, so she turned the lights on. It takes its sweet time getting the lights to turn on, and you know, as she's doing this, we keep seeing glimpses of the kid going all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, she looks at the wall and she can see all of Tomas's drawings. Yes. So she realizes, like, this is where he was being kept.
Yes. Which she really should have recognized that from the film, because it showed him down there as he was, like, coloring away. And it looked exactly the same. But either way, she finds out this is where Tomas was living.
Yeah.
So she kind of looks around and she notices there's, like, these, like, bed area, or it looks like a bed. And she goes over to it and she's like, oh my God, this is Simone. Like, she like kind of like pokes at the lump, and Simone's like, hey, what's up? Why are you crying?
Hey, Mom. Yeah. He's just alive and well. And she's like, what the fuck?
You little shithead. I've been looking for you.
No, she's very happy. She's crying.
No, she's happy. Yeah. They start hearing clanging in the closet upstairs and like kid voices and stuff like that. So we're like, okay, it's about to go down here. Simone says, stay and play with us. Okay, now we know something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's never good. Oh. You never want to be asked to be played with. That sounds weird. You never want a you never want a kid asking you to play with them. Oh, that sounds even fucking worse. The point is, kids say creepy things in horror movies.
Do you want a shovel? Would you like to keep digging?
Am I at 6 foot already? I think that's regulation. I'll stay down here.
Okay.
9 feet would be too deep. I can't climb out of that hole. Simone's like, oh, let's play. And Laura's like, no, we're not playing. And
we're leaving.
Yeah. So she picks him up, kind of wraps him in the blanket, and tells Simone to start thinking about before they came to the orphanage. I think she's trying to, like, she's like, shut your eyes. It's going to get scary. Like, start thinking happy thoughts, because, like, I think part of it is to try to get him to like imagine that everything's okay so that they can get out of this situation. I don't know if he controls this right now, but
kind of like trying to wish the ghosts away so that they can leave.
So there's this like dizzying scene where she's like spinning in circles and we hear all these sounds and she's like, it's gonna be okay. And then finally,
this scene went on for a while.
It was a bit long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been an hour 44. So she stops finally and opens her eyes and the lights are off and she's like, oh shit. She's still trying to talk to Simone and realizes like she kind of just like lets the blanket go and it just kind of opens and he's not there anymore.
This was so sad.
Yeah. He's not there. So now everything is now dirt, like, she looks back to where he was in the bed. It's all dusty and dirty. Like, obviously no one has been there. No lights are on. She looks back up to the stairs and the railing is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looks down and sees who she thinks is Tomas lying on the ground.
Yeah.
This was really well done. Like, she's like slowly approaching the body and she's getting these flashbacks. So one of them is when Simone was talking about Tomas's house and how he wanted to show her Tomas's house.
Yeah, the day of the party.
Yeah. Then she gets a little closer and then it's when she opened that closet looking for Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And all that shit fell out. And then she put it back in there. And all that heavy stuff leaned against the wallpaper door, for lack of a better term. And then she gets a little closer. And then she hears when she heard the crashing.
Yep.
When she thought Simone was back in his room. And it was the railing breaking.
And then a body falling.
And then the body falling on the ground. And then she goes up to the body and like takes the mask off. And it's Simone the whole time.
Which means he was dead for months, just in their house, in the basement, in a room she couldn't get to.
Yeah.
So fucking sad.
Yeah, so she takes Simone's body up to the nursery and, like, gives him his pill, like the pill that he needed to stave off the HIV infection.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts taking pills. I don't remember what these are, because she takes these earlier in the movie. But she takes one and then keeps taking them and is having like a reaction to them, like they're bitter or whatever.
Well, and I just, before we move on to the final, I don't know. I just wanted to say, like, her screaming when she finds the body, because it goes on for a while. That just, like, I was already sad and that just, like, ripped my heart out. She did a really good job.
That was a pretty crazy scream, too. It was like, oh my God.
Because she just keeps screaming no over and over.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fair. I finally found you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's sitting in the nursery, takes the pills, and then, like, starts passing out. And she kind of, like, regains consciousness a little bit, like, wakes back up. And the house is, like, groaning and creaking again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lighthouse is on, and it's, like, flashing, and it comes, like, you know, is on the illuminates the back of her head because she's sitting against the window. And she looks out the window and sees herself as a little girl running toward the lighthouse.
Yeah.
So now, all of a sudden, she, like, sets Simone down and he is alive. She, like, puts his feet back on the ground and he's now able to stand up and he's alive now. So he wishes for her to stay with them and take care of all of them. And she kind of looks in the room and all the kids are in their beds in the nursery. Tomas comes through the doors and comes towards them. He goes towards the blind girl and takes her to Laura and has her, like, put her hands on Laura's face to, like, so she recognizes her.
Yeah.
From when she was a child. She's like, oh, Laura's all grown up now. It's her. And then all the children run to her and they're very happy. And essentially she starts telling them like a nursery story or a bedtime story and everyone's paying attention to her.
Well, they say, like, it's like Wendy coming back to take care of the Lost Boys. Yeah. And so when she took those pills, I mean, she died. So now she is a ghost to stay there and take care. When I tell you this fucking scene, I've seen this movie before and I cried. I had to put it on pause so I could just sit there and cry for a while. Cause it's, and I don't know if I'm just getting old and sentimental or what, but man, that scene is a gut punch.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. The last scene is there's like a grave that's dedicated to Laura and Simone and all the other kids that I mentioned earlier of the orphanage that were killed by Menina. And it's Laura's grave and Carlos is laying flowers at it.
Mm.
That's the movie.
Well, no. Wait, he goes into the house and he finds, because earlier he had given her a St. Anthony's necklace. Like, it's like that's the saint you pray to when something's lost. And he's like, you can give this back to me when we find Simone, like trying to make her feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds the necklace on the ground and he turns and looks, and because a door opens and he smiles. So I don't know if that means like he can see them and maybe he'll die and stay with them, or he at least knows his wife is okay as a ghost, but that is the end.
Yeah, probably open for interpretation. I took it as because he got it back that she found Simone. Whether he's going to be there with them or not, I don't know. But
I like to think of it as he saw her and was like, sweet, bet, and then took some pills, died, and then became a happy ghost family.
Jesus.
All right. Ta-da! That's the movie!
Happy ending.
Kind of. I love
this movie. So, okay. I need to clarify a couple things. So, when Tomas pushes her into the door frame and pushes her into the bathtub, is that Simone?
No. I thought it was the ghost. I'm pretty sure it's Tomas. Like,
okay. I'm trying to think of, like, every time we see Tomas in real life, quote unquote, like, is that actually him or is that Simone dressed up as him?
I think it's him. I don't think Simone ever, like, hurt Laura.
Okay. So basically, once he got Laura trapped in the bathroom, that's when he either took or led Simone down to his little house, or he was already down there. I don't know.
I think when he locks Laura in the bathroom, then he leads Simone down to his little house, and then Laura, like, puts the stuff back against the door, and that's when Simone gets trapped down there.
Yeah, because it has to be after that, because he's stuck in that room. Right. He can't push back against the heavy stuff in there, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Tomas did it to, like, kill Simone. I think he just was like, an adult's getting in my way of playing with my new friend. I'm going to, like, lock her in here.
Interesting. Yeah, so that basically means that he was dead the night they came back from the hospital when she was in the wheelchair.
When she heard that crash, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
Sad.
So, I think we'll just have the drink this time. Yay! I don't know who else to give it to.
Right? This drink's for us. We need it.
I would give it to Aurora, but I'm not going to give her the ingredients. She just has to believe in them and make it herself.
That's how she sees them. God.
Aurora kind of pissed me off. Perfect shit. All right. So, Sid, what are the ghosts? What are the ghost children going to drink?
Yeah. Okay. So I got this website or this recipe from ruralmom.com. Because I couldn't find one that was, like, specific to this movie, so I just started looking up, like, ghost cocktails. So this one's called the Liquefied Ghost. So it is...
Jeez.
2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of vanilla simple syrup, 1 ounce of cream, and 2 ounces of club soda. You mix it all in a shaker, stir to blend, and put it in a chilled cocktail glass.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Sure. I will do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give him, I, this is not me making a drink or anything. This is just something already made, a pre-made thing. It's a bottle of whiskey called Lost Prophet, and it's brewed by Orphan Barrel.
Hey.
I was digging to try to find one like you were for this. I was like, Orphan alcohol drinks? Couldn't find any. So
what can I give to orphans that's alcoholic?
Yeah, so... This is what I came up with. The description. Lost Prophet is a soft-spoken whiskey with aromas of honey, apricot, and clove that reveal a silky, full-bodied taste with notes of spice, vanilla, and a touch of leather, like the bag, culminating in a sweet, smoky finish. So you get a little taste of the kid's head bag thing.
Oh, great. Well, before you'd said that, I was going to try it. It sounds like a decent whiskey, actually.
It says only a small amount of Lost Prophet exists and it will only be released once after the last bottle has been sold. It's gone for good. It's nomadic journey coming to an end. So it's kind of like, you know, like Laura finding her calling and working or ghost taking care Wendy. Of the kids. Yeah. Ghost Wendy.
Hooray.
So yes, audience, that was our podcast on the orphanage 2007. If you want to let us know what you think, or let us know if you have any drinks that you would have conjured up for this,
or movie requests,
you can reach us at finalfempodcast@gmail.com or at finalfempodcast on Instagram. And Sid, what are we watching next time?
Next time, Jack, we are watching Five Nights at Freddy's.
Woo-hoo! Oh no, another spooky one.
Yay!
All right, well, I can't wait for you to lead that one, because I'm sure it's going to be fabulous.
Fabulous. Yes, it will.
All right, everyone. Well, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Watch Five Nights at Freddy's. God, I can't fucking talk. Five Nights at Freddy's. That's a hard title.
I like okay, Five Nights all this at Fretzies.
They make pretzels at Fretzies.
Yes.
Fucking Jesus. All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Pretzies.
God damn it.
Pretzies, pretzies, baby.
We'll start in the tarts. Fretzies, pretzies.
Yes. Get those Fretzies, pretzies.